We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
On Exploring the Word, we love to be consistent. So all week, we've been studying a chapter, but we never start with verse 1. Today, we're in chapter 11, and I want to read verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, this is a good introduction to what we're talking about today in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, Alex, is one of those chapters that 1 Corinthians 13, Psalm 23, it's just classic. And I say that in a reverent way. Hebrews 11, it touches your soul, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. And Bert, it's great to be with you, and we welcome everybody to this edition of Exploring the Word. We are in the New Testament book of Hebrews. Hebrews is all about Jesus. And, I'm going to do what Bert Harper does, and I'm going to look for repeated words. Now, there are a pair of words that I haven't counted, but it's 15 plus times, I think, over and over we see the words by faith. Isn't that something? Now, the word faith means trust. And Bert, I don't mean to always refer to my own journey so much, but I don't know. I just think about when I got saved. I was 21 years old, and I remember I had not been in church too long, and my pastor, Mark Sink, he's in heaven now, and about a year ago, I had the privilege of doing his service. But Mark preached a sermon on the Faith Hall of Fame. And I know many people have probably heard pastors preach on Hebrews chapter 11, but I remember back the first time I heard all this. And, you know, by faith, Abraham believed, and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and all these people. And I had always wanted to go to Cooperstown to the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I had been to Canton, Ohio, and there's, a Sports Hall of Fame up there. And I remember the first time I heard Hebrews 11, I thought, wow, the Faith Hall of Fame. That's just so awesome. But you're right. It is a very famous passage of Scripture, isn't it?
It really is. And it is a list of great men and women and some of the greatest heroes. We don't even know their names. Now, you have to read all the way through to the end of the chapter to get those. But listen, I want to just tell you, the action speaks real clear. And notice what this is. Faith leads to action. You Amen. Trust God, and then you obey him and do what he says. And this is what you're going to get here. And as you said, Alex, the list is amazing. And but it works in different ways. Some of them waited on God. Some of them walked with God. You know, some of them worked for God. You know, so their faith was the same, but the work that they did was different. And so faith is trusting God all the way. I think it was S.M. Lockridge. I think it was. It could have been someone, but like that was preaching so good. And he says, let me tell you what faith is. Faith is when you step out on nothing and find yourself standing. And, you know, this is the whole idea. We can stand on God's word. And I believe with all my heart, if you needed encouragement to stand with God and on his word, today's a good day to listen to Exploring the Word and hear about this by faith chapter, brother.
Well, amen. You know, you and I, it's probably a decade ago, because whenever you and I will record a backup show, one of the things we did was a message about faith, because I was very moved by verse 39 and 40, and so we're going to go to the end and come back through. But, you know, there's all these great major figures from Noah, Abraham, Moses, Gideon, Barak. And verse 36 says, and others had a cruel trial of mockings. But 39 and 40, it says, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, I'll explain what that means in a moment, but here's my point. All these people, they did not know a fraction of what you and I know. I mean, folks, here's the deal. We know the tomb is empty. We know Christ is risen. We've got the Bible. We've got the book of Revelation. We know that Christ returns and he ushers in righteousness. So here's the point, I think, or at least one of the main takeaways, Bert. If all of these people who only had a little fraction of the revelation that we have, if they could be bold and consistent in their obedience to God, bold faith, service to the Lord, willing to die in strong belief even before Christ had even come, how much more so we? You know, we know the story from Bethlehem to Calvary to Easter morning, and we've got the Bible. I mean, these people, they didn't even have the written word of God available as we do. So if they could be faithful with just the little smidgen of revelation that had been given to them, how much more so can we be faithful with the great panorama of God's revealed truth that we have?
Amen, Alex. Now, let me just, I want to point out, and I wished you'd do this, the two that amazes me, now all of them amaze me. Don't misunderstand, but the two that just grip my heart is Abraham and Rahab. Now, let me tell you, and we may skip around a little bit today, look at these heroes, but Abraham in verse 8, and notice, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And now listen to this next sentence in that verse. And he went out not knowing where he was going.
Amen.
I just love that. And the other one about is just Rahab, that she, and she's just mentioned a little bit, not a lot, but it's in verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Now, you're just talking about very little revelation. All she knew is what she'd heard about. She had heard about a deliverance, and you can find this in Joshua. She had heard about the deliverance that they had from Egypt. She had heard about the battles that they had won in the wilderness. And that was enough for her to believe God and trust. And so she obeyed. She hid the spies. She hung out the crimson cord. She got her family gathered into her apartment, and she became a part of the family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Alex, that boggles my mind. It shows you how great God is. He can take that person that is so far away, and we may have some listening today that are so far away from God, they say, well, I'm so horrible, God can't use me. God used Rahab, and I want to just tell you, he wants to use everyone who is listening. If they would, by faith, ask Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sin and come into their life and live for him. This Amen. Is what Hebrews 11 is all about. You can. God uses you wherever you are, and he can use you for his glory.
Well, and here's the thing. We are accountable to respond to the amount of light we've been given. You know, people often ask me, you know, what about somebody in some foreign land who lives in the jungle or whatever? You know, I know the Bible says in Romans 1 and 2 and Psalm 19 that they have the witness of creation and conscience.
Right.
You know, we have the book of Scripture. Well, it's been said there's also the book of nature, that creation had to have a creator. And then there's conscience. And so here's the thing. We in America, we have just this unparalleled amount of God's revelation. I mean, there's a Gideon Bible in most every hotel room, and there's a church on many a street corner. And Bert, I got to tell you, You know, C.S. Lewis talked about the Holy Spirit was the hound of heaven who comes seeking after us. I've had people tell me, they'll say, you know, I just wasn't even thinking about the Lord, but somehow every time I turned on my car radio, there was AFR. Don't know how it happened. And, you know, I heard about Jesus. But folks, whatever, listen, some of you listening, as a man did yesterday, perhaps you need to make sure that you've been saved. We had a gentleman prayed yesterday. He wanted to make sure that he was saved. And if you've never done that, you can do that today. Maybe you need to get in church and you've been out of church and you've not been walking with the Lord for some time. But Hebrews 11 is about the people that responded to the light that they had. And we have that responsibility too. Now, very famously, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But the word substance there is really the word conviction or realization, or it could be assurance. But here's the thing, we know there's a God. Bert, I think every atheist out there, they might be saying they're an atheist, but in their heart, they know there's a God. This universe didn't come from nothing, you know. The evidence of things not seen, the conviction. Bert, and I don't mean to be kind of, nebulous or mystic here, but when it comes to your walk with Jesus, you just know. Now, the Bible affirms it. In, I think, 10,000 ways, God lets us know that he's with us. But if you're a born-again believer, the most certain thing in your life is the Lord Jesus, isn't it?
It really is. And he came unto us, and he made himself known before many witnesses, and he left the witness of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you said, you got creation and conscience. Then when you respond to that light, I believe with all my heart, God will get further light. I believe this is mine, the best example of that in the Bible. I know it referred to Rahab, but another one is the Ethiopian eunuch. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he went home. He had a copy of the Bible, Isaiah. We know that part of it anyway. And God miraculously gets Philip there to share with him the truth of God's word. And he says, I've heard that. I believe it. What's hindering me to be baptized? Here's water. He was. And let me just tell you, he responded years later when people would head to Ethiopia in that area. There was already believers there. That Ethiopian eunuch carried the message of Christ. But he responded to the light he had, and then God gave him more light. Alex, I'm confident of that.
I think also the Magi from Persia, when they came, and one of the verses that probably persuaded them was Numbers 24:17 about a star would arise over Jacob, and it would signify one in whose hand is a scepter, a king. And the thing is, in Daniel 2:48, we always share this at Christmas, but it says Daniel, who, by the way, was a political prisoner, but Daniel was a witness, and it said he was a leader over the wise men of Babylon. And hundreds of years later, when a star appeared with only a minimal amount of knowledge, they mounted up an entire caravan and came hundreds of miles from Babylon to Jerusalem. And those wise men, and we, of course, commemorate this every year at Christmas, but the wise men, with just a little bit of revelation, they acted on it. And so there's a lot to say here. And Bert, everything we need to do from this is to follow God in faith and be strong in faith ourselves.
It is. Your name may not be in Hebrews 11, but it can be on the Lamb's Book of Life by trusting Jesus Christ. You can be that man, woman, boy, or girl. By faith, you trust God. We'll be back with more right after this break. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Big news for our listeners. We're thrilled to announce AFA Stream, the new chapter in streaming for the American Family Association. We've refreshed our look, but our mission remains strong: to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to transform American culture. AFA Stream is your destination for exclusive documentaries produced by American Family Studios, riveting live radio shows, and enlightening cultural institutes featuring renowned professors. Plus, relive the moments from past AFA conferences, enrich your ministry with our church curriculums, and enjoy a selection of uplifting movies. You can enjoy these benefits as a Great Commission partner. Your monthly support helps us continue to deliver these valuable resources. Join us in our mission to inform, equip, and activate from wherever you are. Start streaming today on AFA Stream. Visit us at stream.afa.net to explore and become a partner today.
Dr. Tony Evans says, when it feels like your problems have you locked up behind bars, God is working on a jailbreak. He'll talk about how to hold on till that day comes as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, Paul and Silas are in jail worshiping. How do you worship in jail? How do you worship when you're stuck in a place you don't want to be? How do you worship when there's no escape from the problem you're in? It says they worshiped in jail, and suddenly, out of nowhere, there was an earthquake that shook open the door. I wish I could tell you how much longer you're gonna have to wait for your change to come. I wish I could tell you how much longer they're gonna be treating you bad on your job, treating you bad in that situation you're in, and you're trying to please God and be righteous. I wish I could tell you what the waiting game is in the plan of God. I cannot tell you, because there are too many pieces of this puzzle, there are too many people, there are too many things going on. What I can tell you is you will know when God shows up, bam, because it'll be suddenly. In so many unexpected ways. Yeah, sometimes God lets it get worse before he lets it get better. Sometimes he takes you all the way to the end. He takes you to rock bottom so you can discover he's the rock at the bottom.
If you could use some reassurance as you deal with the circumstances of your life, check out Tony's CD series, Comforting the Afflicted, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, so honored that you're listening. We're in Hebrews 11. Hey, by the way, the number we're going to take Bible questions here in a little while is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. You know, Bert, depending on how you count, there's 23 and maybe 24 different names in here. I mean, you've got Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Esau, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, women. and others, verse 36. But let me say this. There's the whole nation of Israel. And let me put this in here. In 24 through 27, well, 24 through 28, I'm sorry, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And of course, many have preached on how the pleasures of sin are but for a season. But it goes on, 27, 28, of course, Moses, you know, he led the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. And many times I've alluded to in my top three or four favorite movies, The Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston. Stop what you're doing. Go watch that movie. It is so great. But look at 29. Yes. Here's 2 million people who acted in faith. It says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, which the Egyptians were trying to do but drowned. All right, here's the thing. Moses, in verse 24, 23 and 24, you know, kind of gets top billing. But give it to the Israelites. In faith, verse 29, they followed Moses. And they even went through the Red Sea on dry ground, which was parted. Here's my point. I believe in every Christian's life, there are multiple steps of faith that must be taken. Would you agree?
I would agree. And here you find out Moses' faith was catching. We know Joshua was there, although his name is not there. We talk about the walls of Jericho in verse 30. That's mm-hmm. we're talking about Joshua. But his faith, Moses, it was catching. It was handed off. And so we have they in verse 29 because we have Moses in verse 24. And so what will your faith do? Your faith, yes, for yourself. But I want to tell you, it blesses others. You remember in Mark chapter 2, the four men that got the paralytic down from the roof and let him down so that Jesus could heal him. And it says, because of their faith, Jesus used that. So, yes, there is individualism, and we need to know that. Everybody is saved on their own. You can't be saved on the, you know, from other people's faith. But other people's mm-hmm. faith can encourage you to follow the Lord. And that's what we're asking people to do. Yes, you've trusted the Lord, but let your faith be a witness in action, in word, in deed. And so here mm-hmm. we find this. Now, Alex, I want to do something real quickly, and I'll be all right doing it. When I see the first name that is mentioned, it's Abel. And his was worshiping. He worshiped God the yes. way he should. Then I see Enoch. He walked with God. You remember that? It says he walked with God and God took him. Enoch walked with God. Then Noah built the ark. Someone has said he worked, you know, so you have all W's. And then Abraham, and you find the patriarchs. They waited on the Lord. That's amazing how that is. Starts in verse 8. And you have four generations here of these men who walked, and Sarah, so put her in there, but Abraham and Sarah, and then Isaac, Jacob, and then even it goes down, Joseph. And so, Alex, you see it can be an individual. As you said, it was a nation, but here we also find four generations following God. So
Amen.
In this chapter, you have all of those that knew very little, those that knew more than a lot of folks did, because Moses, he had an experience at the burning bush that let him know a good bit about it, you know. And so whatever light you have, respond to it. Obey God, follow God, and wait on him. He'll bring it to pass, won't he?
He really will. He really will. Famously, verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Often we'll quote Charles Spurgeon. Somebody said to Spurgeon one time, and by the way, I've been doing a lot of studying this week because I'm getting ready for the Cove tomorrow. You know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Angie and I will be at the Cove in Western North Carolina, and you know, I was just talking to them on the phone, Bert, and there's 283 people there. That's essentially a full house for that auditorium. And people coming from, I don't know, 15 or 20 states. And the lady said to me, she said, wow, you know, when you come, people come from all over. And I said, well, number one, we give credit to the Lord, but number two, to the American Family Radio Network. So I just want to thank Tim Wildman and AFR for letting me mention that I'm at the Cove speaking. But here's the thing. We quote Spurgeon a lot, and I came across this last night, Bert. A lady said to Charles Spurgeon one time, said, you're very presumptuous. You said that you know that you're saved. And she said, isn't it presumptuous to think that you know you'd go to heaven? And Spurgeon said, well, I know that because I believe what God's word says. And he said, what's more presumptuous would be to take God's word and deny it. Because Jesus says, if you believe in me, you will be saved. And Spurgeon said, it's not that I'm presumptuous, I'm simply taking God at his word. Now, let's get back to verse 6 there. In the word faith means trust or belief. The wisest thing we can do, and it's not blind faith, and it's not, you know, being, naive or gullible. No, the wisest thing we can do is to accept the word of Almighty God. And God's word says everything we could ever need to know, not only about salvation and eternity, but about life itself.
Alex, the word diligently is there. And, you know, it talks about that in Deuteronomy, about diligently train them, you know, train your children diligently. And that, I want to just tell you, I want to encourage all those who are listening, don't just take it casual. You know, we've come to the place, I love worship, but yet at the same time, I think sometimes being so casual in our, life, you know, we've come to God wanting to be casual. No, you need to come diligently. Now, again, we're not talking about what you wear. We're not talking about the songs that we're not talking about those things, but we're coming with purpose. Our purpose is to honor him and to love him. We need to do that privately. When we read our scriptures on our own and go through our prayer list, we need to diligently do that. When we come to church and have corporate worship, by the way, that's it talked about that yesterday, about not forsaking yourselves from worship with others like some of you do. No, we need to do it purposefully, diligently. And so this whole idea, what you read here in chapter 11, you put that diligence in there. By faith, Abel diligently offered this. By faith, Enoch, he diligently walked with God. You catch what I'm saying? It's it's we're purposeful. We don't need to be just hanging out and say, well, it really doesn't matter. It does matter. I've been saved, and I need to glorify God in my body. I need to glorify him in my actions. And when I read the book of Hebrews and I see these words by faith, and then I see what faith wrought in them and how God rewarded them, it lets us know, hey, we need to do that even today in 2024.
Amen. Amen. Well said. And I would encourage people to read Hebrews chapter 11. It's very inspiring, and of course it brings to mind so many great biblical stories. Let me comment on this, though. Forgive me for going backwards, but verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Bert, do you remember in John chapter 1 where it talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? And let me read this, and I'll tell you why, because I want to hopefully steer away from an error I hear sometimes. Speaking of Jesus, who is the Logos, the living Word of God, John 1 verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, scholars use a fancy word called ex nihilo. That's Latin for out of nothing. What did God create this universe from? Nothing. He called it into existence. It's amazing. You and I can't do that. I mean, we can saw a piece of wood or bend a piece of metal. You know, matter is very malleable. You can, you know, make bricks out of clay and you can build things out of wood, but we can't call anything into existence. Now, that's just amazing. Only Almighty God could do that. He spoke the worlds into existence. Now, verse 3, Bert, I've had people say this, that faith was the tool God used to create the world. I disagree. Because faith implies that you're putting your trust in something outside of yourself. Now, we, as a limited, finite human being, we do put our trust in something outside of ourselves, Almighty God. Because we need more than ourselves. We are not self-sufficient. We're dependent. But I reject the idea that faith was a tool God harnessed to create this physical universe. Do you see that, Bert?
I do.
And now what it's meaning is we trust what God said about the world he created. And we trust what God's word reveals, and we trust the God who revealed it. But I think it's important to know that the wisest thing you'll ever do is put your trust and your belief and your obedience. I love those, you know, you said worship and walk and work and waiting. Those are great, you know, alliterations about the life of believers. But we trust God. God didn't have to ever put his faith, quote unquote, in something outside of himself, because God is the foundation of all things.
Amen, Alex. We needed to hear that. That is so true. We're the ones that trust. We know, and that trust has come. To whom else would you go? You have the words of life, as Peter said in John chapter 6. You know, we know that, and we know that God's the creator, the redeemer. One more thing I want to make sure, and again, we're just going from place to place in chapter 11, but I want to talk about Abraham a minute and what it said about that. I've always amazed that here it is, he's offering up Isaac, and he is willing to do it. We don't get this from Genesis chapter 22. We don't get all of this in that passage, but we get it here in Hebrews, and let me read it, 17, 18, and 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. How could Abraham do that? By knowing who God was, that God is able to raise him up. Now, Alex, when I read that, and I don't remember the first time I read it, but, you know, I was always, man, Abraham, God, what? How could you do it? But when I read this in chapter Hebrews 11, 19, he accounted that God, he reckoned that God was able to raise him up. Alex, that is the knowledge of what we're waiting on. You see, that's what we're waiting on, something better. And real quickly, we're waiting on that which is better in verse 40. That is heaven. We're waiting on that. Now, until then, here's what we do, and I'll throw it back to you. Some of us may escape some difficulty, and some of us may endure the difficulty. Now, that's what it talks about in verses 32 through 38. Those in verses 32 all the way through the first part of 35, they escaped great difficulty. And then those that follow in the middle of verse 35, tortured, you know, others mocking, scourging, they endured. But it's the same kind of faith. It's not, amen, it's God. I don't know what God has for us in the future, but I trust him. Will it be endurance or will it be escape? The rapture could occur at any time, or are we going to go through tribulation before that occurs? We don't know, but here's what we do know. God is faithful, isn't he?
Amen. God, oh, my goodness, God is faithful. And, you know, different people have different things they face. Like I say, there are multiple steps of faith in the life of a believer. Obviously, the first step is to trust what God says about salvation. And, you know, it's been said that repentance is agreeing with God. You know, we're sinners, we need to be saved. But then, even as a born-again believer, there's so many things that we need to trust God for, and there's great reward in that, like verse 6 says. Bert, that's why we need to walk with the Lord. The children of Israel had this time, much has been made of this, Kadesh Barnea, where they were supposed to cross the Jordan and go possess the promised land. And many Kadesh Barneas come along in the life of a Christian, in the life of a married couple, in the life of a church, to believe God. And so, Bert, I just think every Christian has wonderful opportunities to grow, to bear fruit, and to be blessed. But it takes faith and obedience, doesn't it?
It does. There's going to be a crisis of faith. Do you believe God or do you not? When we believe God, obey Him, follow Him, we will see the rewards one day. That number, 888-589-8840. Give us a call.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
You and I have something very special here in America. We can open our Bibles every day and be reminded of God's precious promises. But around the world, in Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America, as many as 9 of 10 new believers, they're denied God's Word. They're crying out. And while many of those are adults, you know, many are just kids who want to know what it means to follow Jesus.
I am Lisbeth. I am 10 years old and live in Peru with my mom and sister. My dad died last year. We would like a Bible to read every day when we wake up. Thank you.
AFR listening family, you've been incredibly kind to follow the Spirit's leading to bless 11,000 Bibleist believers. We've been given until July 31st to bless all 16,000. So at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20, $1,000 sends 200. Would you pray and get involved?
You can give by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The United States Department of the Interior published a guide to inclusive language that tells bureaucrats to avoid sex-specific terms like husband, wife, son, and daughter. The 24-page document called the U.S. Department of the Interior Inclusive Language Guide, published for official use only, details the terms bureaucrats must avoid. The guide includes a list of 104 different terms that the Interior recommends replacing with alternate, approved words. The guide even instructs bureaucrats to refrain from using the term preferred pronouns because it implies that gender identity is a choice. Our tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand God, any who seek God. Psalm 14, verse 2.
American Family Radio.
The devil thought he had a hold of me. He told so many lies that I believed. Got too weak to carry on. I thought that I was too far gone. But then I heard a voice from Calvary.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Listen, God has done a great work in so many people's lives, and we thank God for that. If you got a phone call, if you want to make a phone call, I should say it that way, and ask a Bible question, that number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question, we've got lines open. But before we go to the first caller, I want Brent to tell us about Facebook. We put out a challenge yesterday. I think we were about 68 people away from reaching 9,000. Brent, give us a report.
You're talking about God doing a great work. He has done a great work in this show, and I give it all to him. 9,025 followers as of yesterday afternoon.
Hey, amen. We really
so
went close to
10,000.
Yeah, we really went close to 100 yesterday.
We did.
And our goal is, it's just because we know on Facebook people are listening, but also you get some outlines sometimes, some pictures, the different things behind the scenes, pictures that you might not get. Brent puts them on there. So if you want to be on that, like it. And you can go to Facebook, Exploring the Word, and be a part of the Facebook family. And we would love for you to do that. Well, Alex, are you ready for some phone calls?
Let's do it. It's 888-589-8840. And hey, let me give this quick little promo. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be doing Real Truth, the Jeff Shreve Show, which is 9 to 10 Eastern, 8 to 9 Central. And my guest will be Kathy Lee Gifford. Tomorrow morning, I've never interviewed her, but she's got a new book out about Israel. And so tomorrow morning, if you're free, tune in to Real Truth, 9 to 10 Eastern, and that's going to be a good show tomorrow morning.
Well, I hope it goes well. While we're waiting for that, let's go to Ohio and talk to Tommy. Tommy, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Hey, what I was wondering about, the 200 million army in Revelation, but does it speak of that also in Ezekiel or somewhere in Jeremiah or something also? I just want to know, were that actual soldiers coming from the west?
Yeah, we know they're coming in. Alex, is it talked about anywhere else? I can't think, either.
I really do think it's literal. This is at the Battle of Armageddon, and Bert, I remember many years ago people were talking about how very possibly it could be a lot of soldiers from China.
Right.
You know.
That's what I always heard as well.
Yeah, yeah. And my goodness, with the way China and in collusion with Russia. I mean, you think about, you've got Arabic nations, you've got China, Russia, even India, which has a fair amount of anti-Semitism and anti-Christianity. And then also you've got even North Korea. So to get 200 million soldiers to be under the direction of the Antichrist to fight Israel, I mean, that wouldn't be hard to do, sadly.
Tommy, I take it literally as well. And you can see it happening as they're joining forces and talking to one another. It could be a real possibility, and it could be soon. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Texas, and it's Bobby. Bobby, thank you for calling Exploring the Word.
Thank you, Bert and Alex. I was in Bible study last night, studying the book of Judges, and I thought about you two, and I thought, I'll call them and just let them expound on Judges chapter 9 and the silliness of man trying to be selfish and doing what Amalek and all them dummies did, and how the woman dropped the rock on his head, and having his maid servant stab him so the people wouldn't say a woman killed him, and just the foolishness. Just expound on Judges and the attributes of God, and how many attributes of God are in that one chapter.
Bobby, thank you for calling. It's good to hear from you ever so often. It's just a joy to hear your excitement for the Word of God, which shows us God himself. Alex, when you read the book of Judges, every man did that which is right in his own eyes, and that's what they did. And you see that happening. And Abimelech and that, I don't think there's anywhere that shows it very much clearer than that, do you?
I know. Well, you know, Judges 5:8 talks about the fact that they chose new gods and there was chaos within the gates. And you're right. If you read, you know, the book of Judges, my goodness, there's all sorts of killings and shenanigans, but it's what we see when a culture cuts itself loose, not only from, you know, knowledge of God, but just moral truth in general. And, you know, there's just so much going on in there. But God would raise up these leaders to try to call them back together. And here's the thing. Through the nation of Israel, God would send the Messiah. Isn't it amazing, in spite of the backsliding and the sin and the chaos and the perennial lawlessness, Everything still happened right on schedule, and the Messiah was safely brought into the world.
Yeah, the book of Judges is kind of like the Dark Ages in the Old Testament.
Yes.
You see that. But you see God having a voice, having a person, making himself known. And even in the darkest of times, God is at work. And just keep that in mind. In 2024, when chaos seems to be everywhere, not just in the United States, but all over the world, God's at work in people's lives, collectively and individually. And I praise God for that. Let's trust him. So thank you, Bobby. Great call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Ron. Ron, thank you for calling.
I have a question regarding father. What is the term used in father when Jesus refers to us to speak of as the heavenly father, like the good father? And it's an earthly term, but it's a heavenly entity that we can't even see because of his holiness. It's written that he's guarded by seraphim and angels, and because of our sinful nature, we can't even come in the presence of our heavenly father.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ron, that's his position. That is his position. He is our father. Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was who he was calling on. So when you look at God, Alex, let me say this, having a conversation with man because of our limited knowledge, resource, I would say even vocation, God puts it on terms that we can understand. And father has become that term of protector, of one that is provider. All of those are part of the father's position, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and the Bible in numerous places refers to God as Father, you know, originator, the creator. And, you know, not only that, I mean, I thought about James 1:17 that says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Isn't that something that God, not only the planets, not only the angels, not only revelation itself, but the creator of all things. But Jesus, in I think Mark 14:36, Jesus said the Father could be addressed as Abba, which is an Aramaic word that literally means daddy. So, Bert, I was just reading, and let me digress for just a second, folks, but in Christian theology, there is the term complementarianism, that men and women are equal, but unique in function, but equal in worth. And for years and years and years, conservative Bible-believing scholars have accepted that, and I believe that. When it comes to gender roles and men and women, I'm a complementarian. But I was reading, even last night, I was reading some papers online, and now there's such a pushback, and professed Christians that claim to be a believer and claim to believe in Scripture, or I was reading this one scholar who said that they would not anymore refer to God as Father, but in a gender-neutral term. And I thought, well, then you're not believing Scripture, because God has revealed himself as our Heavenly Father. So, Bert, you know, some people nowadays, they have a problem that God has revealed himself in masculine terms. In no way does that diminish the value of females, but I think we have to take God for how he has revealed himself, which is Father, and of course there's the second and third members of the Trinity, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but God the Father. That is how he has revealed himself, isn't it?
It is, and notice, it is relationship. You understand?
Yes.
That is true. Relationship. That is the thing that God desires with us. That relationship, that we can come to him. Now, he loved us first so that we could respond to him, but he was seeking that relationship. And when we come to him in that relationship through Jesus Christ, listen, that relationship is, he is our Heavenly Father. It's a great term. It's not in any way bad. Just I heard a story about this young girl that was abused by her earthly father, and when it came time for her to be saved, and the man who was helping her to pray said, "Our Heavenly Father," and she had said, "I'm not ever going to say that word again," because the father context for her was so bad and so horrible. He took time to explain to her there's a lot of difference in that earthly father and our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. And so, Alex, Father, we need to take that. Those of us that are males, that are husbands and fathers, we need to live up to that term, that we care and we have this relationship. Ron, I thank you for that. Well, let's go to Judy in Mississippi. Judy, thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. I love your show, and I love AFA so much and AFR. Thank you for taking my call. I do have a question about just the previous statement also. So can you explain a little bit more about the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? So many people have asked me, and I've kind of done this. I started a Bible study, and I'm just kind of babbled around. I'm like, okay, like I don't have the answer. I just know that's what
okay.
it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Judy. Listen, let me just say this, and I'll turn it over to Alex as well. I believe, Alex, the Trinity question has become the number one area of questions that we have, you know, because mm-hmm. it is taught in the scriptures. And what scripture is it that lists all three of them in one time? Alex, you'll get that. But, you know, the Trinity is one God in three persons. It mm-hmm. may be bigger than our mind can conceive, more than we could even illustrate, but the Bible teaches it. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, yeah, there are quite a number of scriptures. And by the way, we put this up sometimes. Brent Austin helps us out on this on the Facebook page. I wrote an article that I was going to write kind of like one little entry, and it's about a 4,000 or 5,000 word article where we talk about the names of the Trinity. And, you know, things like where it says the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, keep your body, soul, and spirit blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. I often talk about what is the uniqueness of Christianity. And Bert, I think that God's revelation of his nature in terms of the Trinity is one of the most unique things. Nowhere else in any other belief system is there anything like the Trinity. And I've said this, I don't think that man did think up the Trinity. I don't think human beings could have thought up the Trinity. It is so deep and so profound that I think is completely the revelation of God. So there is one God, the nature of God. There is just one God. And yet, he's revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternally coexisting. The Father is not the Son or the Spirit. The Son is not the Father or the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father or the Son. And yet, one essence or nature, and three, I've read this, although I don't know that it's simple enough to help, three centers of consciousness within that one nature, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, Bert, a lot of people deny the Trinity because it's complicated. Somebody asked C.S. Lewis one time, you know, it just seems so complicated. And C.S. Lewis said, well, yeah, it is complicated because, you know, we're not making this up. But let me give you just one scripture that mentions all three, which is 1 Peter 1, verse 2. It talks about the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ through his blood and grace. All right, 1 Peter 1, 2, you've got Father, Spirit, Son all mentioned. And there are quite a number of others, but that article, maybe Brent could post that even today again on Facebook, because that's about as much as we can put in one little answer within the show, you know?
It is. Matter of fact, Brent just let us know that if you go to Facebook, you can find it. It's pinned at the top of the page, and you can read that article. James, sorry we couldn't get to you today, but guess what tomorrow is, Alex?
Fire Away Friday.
What
yes.
does that mean? What does
all
that...
questions, all the hour. So think up some questions, call in, and we'll be very pleased to hear from you.
It is not stump the host. That's not what we're trying to do, but we are trying to make much of Jesus Christ, and we try to do this with our questions. My professor at Blue Mountain College, James Travis, said, open the scriptures and make a beeline for Jesus. What Alex and Bert try to do on answering the questions is make a beeline to Jesus. Alex, he's worth making a beeline to, isn't he?
Amen. Amen. I'll be on the Hamilton Corner an hour from now and then again tomorrow morning. Bless you. Tell somebody about AFR, but everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.